You're listening to The Farming World, news and interviews from the land grant in Urbana-Champaign. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Joining us today on The Farming World is Steve Freed, Vice President of Research for ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois. Steve has more than a quarter century analyzing grain markets, including Tours and Continental Grain Company and Dean Witter Reynolds. Steve is a graduate in agriculture from Illinois State University. Steve, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
You know, in preparation for this interview, I went on to the internet and I did a Google search of your name, and up came a PowerPoint presentation, actually, and it said, prepare for 2010 grain volatility. You did this back in February. It certainly has been that sort of year thus far, and I think to begin to look at what might happen in the spring, we need to look at where we're coming from. So why don't you begin with some analysis of how 2010 has played out?
Well, I think we started out looking for big crops and maybe even some lower prices. And I think that farmers got the crops in on a timely basis, and I think the wheat harvest went well, and we had big crops, at least big yields here. And right in the middle of all this, we had the worst drought in Russian history, and it really turned things around. You have, like one person said the other day, this is not business as usual now. And a lot of question marks about how much actual exports will come out of that region. And then if it's down quite a bit, how much shifts to the United States. And finally, in the last, let's say, 2 weeks, I think that we've seen hotter temperatures than we've seen in a long time, especially at night. And we've seen kind of a back off of normal rainfall, especially east of the Mississippi. So now, when you go out into a cornfield, you're not seeing quite the yield that you had hoped for when you planted the crop. And that's keeping the market at some pretty lofty prices historically, and really has a lot of people looking for higher prices down the road.
Well, going forward to spring then, let's look at some of the fundamentals and dig in a little bit deeper off of your opening remarks. When you look at the corn supply, USDA in August put the crop at 13.4 billion bushels on a 165 bushels per acre yield. In our neighborhood, we're hearing about tip back and test weight issues, of course, some flooding issues, nitrogen loss issues. As you look at the USDA figures and also analyze what you're hearing, do you think that 165 is going to stand up as the big number for the season?
Well, there's obviously a big debate on that. I think that if you're up here in Chicago and would average all the analysts' numbers, they would probably say that the final yield would be probably closer to 163, 163.5, which would take about 140 million bushels off the USDA's numbers. The one question mark is that if you go out into a field, you got the tip back, you don't have the kernel depth, you're a little bit concerned about how these kernels are going to fill out if there's no additional moisture, and you also realize that there's a lot of ears out there. Plant population, has been going up, and I think the USDA said nationwide it's the second highest population ever. So, that's the debate. But I think right now, if you put a gun to most of the analysts' head, they would say that the final yield will be lower than what the USDA said in August.
Let's look at the demand side then. How do you analyze the livestock sector going into the spring?
Well, animal numbers are down. I think that, cattle prices have been rallying, and hogs not too far behind. I think that there'll be some debate on whether or not the economy is going to allow for increase in food demand versus the lower animal numbers. And I think right now, at least in the cattle industry, in that first quarter of 2011, I think they're looking for higher prices just because animal numbers are down and the demand could remain fairly good for beef. And I think that the more important area that for corn demand is exports. I think that the government said 2050 will be our export number versus 1975 last year, and that's millions of bushels. And I think most in the trade are using a number right now closer to 2,300.
So the expectation is that we're going to pick up some more export demand from where?
We think it's mostly going to be from the Black Sea. I think there's like 4 to 5 million tons of feed wheat that comes out of that area every year, and it's been growing every year. And I think the Russians and the Ukrainians have been trying to build their infrastructure to be a net exporter, not only of grains but of meats. And I think that this drought is going to pull that back. And I think that certainly some of the things we're hearing is that the Russians, you know, want to keep a lot of their feed grains domestically to make sure that their livestock industry does survive this. And so I think that kind of limits the amount of grain that comes out. And then I think that you're also seeing probably, when you look at the numbers, every year world corn demand's going up. And whether that's more people outside the United States making a better living and going to a better diet or whatever. And so it's kind of a combination of the lack of Black Sea exports and the fact that every year corn demand goes up.
The third leg of demand is, of course, ethanol production. USDA has it at 4.7 billion bushels of corn. That's an amazing one-third of production, Steve.
Well, I think two things. I think that there's going to be a lot of important announcements from Washington. Number one is whether or not they're going to increase the mandate to E15. Hearing a lot of rumors that for cars that have been built after 2007, that may be increased in September. You also are hearing by the end of the year that they may pull that back to cars made after 2001. The blend credit, you know, there's a lot of talk about it, extending the blend credit, but maybe at a lower value, perhaps 36 cents a gallon. You know, right now it is profitable to be blending ethanol into gasoline. But, you know, you just have to watch the relationship between gas prices and the price of corn.
So when we take supply and add on the demand side, we get ending stocks, according to USDA, at 1.3 billion bushels. Do you think that's going to be too lean, too rich, or about right come spring?
I think a lot of analysts up here, right or wrong, are using a number below a billion bushels for 2010, 2011. And, you know, that suggests a couple of things. Number one, is that you look ahead in 2011, you know, you're going to have to keep prices favorable to farmers to keep corn into the pipeline, and then there'll be an acreage fight in 2011. You know, we're already talking about higher wheat acres, and we need more corn acres, and I don't know if beans can really afford to lose acres. So that's going to be kind of an interesting thing. The other thing that yesterday I was in Champaign County, and they had some yield averages that were below a year ago. But you, every farmer, or most farmers that you talk to, who had sold, you know, let's say 40, 50% of the new crop corn to date, said they're done selling and that they are bullish and that kind of thing. So, and I want to send a shout out to Bernie Golden, who was a real informative farmer down there who had some pretty strong opinions about yields and marketing.
Before we leave the corn and look at the soybeans in particular, I suppose we ought to spend a few seconds talking about old crop carry-in and how much of that corn is still in the pipeline, how much of that corn is not really number two corn, but is three corn or worse, and how does the potential for blending and dealing with that figure into the equation?
You would think that, you know, initially that this 2010 crop is going to be better than last year. And you would think that that's a priority of blending that crop. And it'll all be depending upon logistics. You know, the weatherman's talking about a little bit drier than normal harvest. A lot of this corn is drying down pretty fast. It'll probably move sooner than later. harvest might be earlier this year. So I think that the commercials will be hitting on all cylinders, not only to blend this crop, send it out, maybe record amounts out of the Gulf, Ocno-Dece, and record amount out of the P&W, Ocno-Dece, but also making sure that they get the grain in storage for what is considered to be a good demand year.
Are end users for corn booked up, or are they behind for the winter needs?
I think most end users are a little bit behind. I think that when we looked at the price of corn at the lows back in early July at 343, there were a lot of people who thought, this is going to continue. We're going to have a big yield. A lot of people talking about a 170 U.S. average corn yield. We were going to be able to get corn bought maybe 20, 30 cents lower than that. And then we just took off. And, I think a lot of people have been waiting for kind of a pullback to get that corn bought and get the soybeans bought. And wheat's been a very volatile market. So I think in the wheat market, the coverage might be a little bit better because they all have memories of 2007 when wheat went a lot higher. But all in all, I think that the end user does not have a lot of coverage.
For soybeans, on the supply side, USDA put the August estimate at 44 bushels to the acre. Steven, it appears to be a crop with good or great potential, but question marks as well.
Well, I think the August report historically has all been about the height of the plant, and this year's crop, no matter where you drive, looks better than last year, and is a tall crop, and it does have some issues. I think the number one issue is all the talk about disease in Iowa and the impact that's going to have on the Iowa yield, and then the weatherman changes his mind every day on how much rain the Midwest is going to see over the next 2 weeks, and that's what will be critical on, I think, anybody that's going out on any tours or anything like that is finding a higher pod count than a year ago. So are we going to fill those pods normally and maybe hit the USDA's yield, or is this disease and a little bit lower yields in the Delta because of heat and maybe not best weather ending the season, does that take a little bit of edge off the beans? And then I think beans also have a situation where, some commercials feel it's difficult to trade much below $10. If you back the futures to Brazil farmers and their, very high freight rates getting beans from the farm to the interior, we need expansion of acres in South America. And in 2011, with the La Nina year, you have to think that there might be a couple dry spells down in Argentina and southern Brazil. And so it might be difficult to take the bean prices down dramatically, even if we have a good crop here.
If we're looking at sudden death as an issue, what percentage of the crop might be reasonable to pencil in at this point?
Oh, I don't think we know. I mean, it just if you talk to people from Iowa, they say the outbreak is the worst they've ever seen. So, I mean, that's something that, yesterday an agronomist says that it's not really a smart thing to try to guess beans before harvest because they can do a lot of changes before you actually get into the field. But, I think it's a very important issue for the Iowa farmer.
Let's look then at the demand side of soybeans. USDA has exports at 1.435 billion bushels. Do you think that number could even get bigger?
I think as an average, analysts are using a number closer to 1,500. We're already seeing record export pace to China. Part of that might be to all the talk about maximizing our export logistics during the October-November-December timeframe, and them wanting to make sure they have their boats in the lineups. But I also think that it's hard to describe or define or even rationalize, but they continue every year to buy more soybeans than what the market thinks. You know, we'll also have to be kind of watching, you know, the European situation. They may need more vegetable oil. They may need more meal because of this year's crop production and crop quality. And so those things might help the situation. And the crush looks like it might even be a little bit higher than what the USDA said because of, you know, potential increases in meal demand into Europe.
What are the planting potentials in South America for this fall?
You know, right now, you know, you're looking at a little bit higher, maybe acres in Brazil, you know, both for cotton and soybeans, and the corn acres might go down a little bit. But it is the function of the market to try to get Brazil acres up every year to satisfy this growing global protein demand. Argentina, you know, there's still a lot of political issues there, and the export tax, the government's in charge, you know, does the government change? And so that issue is kind of up in the air. The one thing that commercials are saying, though, that it may be difficult to repeat last year's record high yields. Usually they don't have back-to-back weather or record yields. So even the USDA is starting out 8 million tons lower in production in South America for next year versus this year. And the question mark is, you know, can the world afford a normal crop in Brazil and Argentina next year, or do we need another year of record production?
For ending stocks, USDA is using a 360 million bushel figure. That's actually unchanged from the July number, but I'm hearing numbers from traders and brokers that suggest a wide range of potential for the spring, all the way down in the 160s to maybe a little bit richer than 360. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the average analyst will tell you that his numbers are closer to 280 to 290 million bushels at kind of a more of a increase in demand and things of that nature. Old crop carryout 160, according to the USDA, it feels like that number might be a little bit low. You know, we're still exporting 12 to 13 million a week. The crush numbers that came out were a little bit higher than expected, and, you know, it's kind of feels like there might be a few more beans out there from the old crop perspective. But, you know, each year we kind of start out at 400 million bushels, at least the last 2 years, and we end up with 160, either, you know, a problem in South America production or just unexpected higher Chinese demand or global demand for protein. So it seems kind of like a theme or a trend in that we start out with the July USDA soybeans carry out as the highest of the year.
I think that we want to touch a little bit more on the potential acre battle for spring, but to do that, we need to understand a little bit more about what may happen this fall in wheat. Certainly, the prices on the board gave people a great opportunity to hedge wheat at very profitable levels, but we're also hearing that there may not be quite enough seed wheat to go around. What are you hearing?
Well, first of all, wheat is too volatile for my heart. You know, it's like when you have a market that here in Chicago that has traded in the last month from a low of $5 to a high of $8.68 back to, you know, $6.80, and that's pretty volatile for me. And I think that there's probably three issues in the wheat market. First of all, is Russia, and just how much of potentially as much as 400 million bushels of export out of the former Soviet Union will have to come to other origins, and how much did the U.S. get of that? You know, you go from a billion bushel carryout down to 600 million bushels really quickly if all that demand has to come to the United States. The problem with that is, in order to reach a higher, or even the goal that the USDA says at 1.2 billion bushels, you have to average exports each week at 29 million bushels, and it's only been 2007 that we were able to do that. I think that the second issue has to do with the outside markets. Wheat is one of those markets that sometimes is moved by where's the dollar going, or the outlook for the economy, or where's energy prices going, and what is the fund's money flow. And then third is, like you said, next year we expect acres to be up, and you're hearing all across the soft red winter wheat belt here in the United States that seed has been sold out or is gone, and that we may get back at least the 4 million acres of winter wheat acres that we lost last year, and maybe even a little bit higher. And so, the higher it is over 4 million acres, the more concern you could have about, where does that acreage come from? Does it come from corn? Does it come from soybeans? And, can those crops really afford to lose those acres?
So if we get the kind of numbers that you're thinking on in wheat acreage, where do we make it up in between the corn and beans? And is it just way too early? Maybe it's just way too early to begin to think about how that plays out.
Well, I don't think it's ever too early. We are a futures market, and we do have to try to figure out, all the components of price discovery. And one of those components is, do we have enough acres next year to satisfy all the demand? And right now, a lot of smart people say that we may not. So, I think that that's something that will be in the back of our minds and could keep especially the corn market from, trading a lot lower from here, even through a harvest of a big crop.
So I guess it's time for the bottom line on all this, on all the fundamentals that we've been talking about. What does the price potential look like into the spring for corn and beans?
Well, I think that if you look at a chart, and the waves of up and down and movements and things like that, it looks like, once we get into the harvest, the market, futures market could set back a little bit. But, there's just a lot of talk of, taking out the highs in the spring of 2011 in both corn and soybeans. So, there's a lot of uncertainty. Is the economy going to move higher, led by China, or is the economy going to double dip? What impact? Today's jobless claims numbers were higher than expected. And so people are going to start, whether it's businesses or whomever, are going to start worrying about that and the impact that may have. But so far, knock on wood, agriculture has been a bright spot in all this. And I think that farmers are in a good place where a lot of people in the world want their grain, and a lot of it has to do with the Russian drought.
Well, it just seems to me like that one might be able to make a case for higher prices.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you always have to sit back and say, okay, what's my cost break even? How much have I sold to date? Analysts in Chicago could be wrong. I mean, it may not rally. And you just have to make sure that you make right marketing decisions. And, there are options that you can buy to protect prices going higher of the inventory that you've already sold. I think it's a good year to be a farmer.
Thanks, Steve, for being with us today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
That's Steve Fried, Vice President of Research for ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to The Farming World. This is Dave Dickey.